Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Hey, man. It's time for Mike and Squid's Grand Prix Podcast. Brought to you by Hey Man Blonde Ale. Shenanigans in every can. Now, with the F1 season underway, here's Mike and Squidbilly.
Yeah, buddy. Another edition of our Formula One podcast. We call it Formula 101. It's Mike Bell from Dukes and Bell and our producer, Bo Morgan, a.k.a. Squidbilly. As we're talking F1, sorry guys, had family business last week, so we're a week behind on the Chinese Grand Prix. But we'll also look ahead to one of my favorite races, the Grand Prix of Azerbaijan, as they head to Baku, right out of a James Bond movie. I was just telling Carl, because we were just joking around here in the studio, as we're in Knox Bardeen, our webmaster's office. So if you hear background noises, that's either his phone or other devices that are going off here. But I was just telling Carl, Carl's like, oh yeah, talking about Chinese Grand Prix. I said, because he's mocking our podcast, Bo. Carl doesn't realize that millions of people, dare I say billions of people around the world, love Formula One racing.
Well, you know, when you don't understand something, Mike, you make fun of it and yes. You try to poke holes in it. And I expect, you know, no less from Carl. I'm a little disappointed in him. But you know what? He's sitting out there alone and we're in here.
That's right.
Having some fun talking about racing.
That's right, brother. Now, the Chinese Grand Prix, unfortunately for the 1,000th. Grand Prix. And again, this was, you take it all the way back to the 50s, this was the 1,000th Formula One race. Obviously the apex of motorsports. And unfortunately, like 2 weeks ago back in China, kind of a dud spud. Not much going on. The qualifying, Valtteri Bottas had the pole for Mercedes, and then Lewis got him on the start. There was a bit of a wheel spin for Valtteri, and Lewis basically drove away. The usual drama came from Ferrari and team orders. Charles Leclerc got out ahead of Sebastian Vettel. Vettel did to the eye look like he was a little bit quicker, and he did drive away a little bit from Leclerc, but it wasn't so appreciable. You'd said, okay, it was the right thing to do, but it got everybody talking in the paddock about team orders. And in Formula One, it's a thing. It has worked for teams to their advantage in the past. It drives fans crazy because fans ultimately want to see guys race, but when guys race each other and wreck, as happened with Red Bull last year in Baku or in Spain with Lewis Hamilton and Nico Rosberg, obviously the team owners get upset.
Well, and I thought it was first off, give Lewis Hamilton credit. The whole shot won in the race completely. Mm-hmm. That was it. Once he got out, he was out. Leclerc actually took third from Vettel, who had the better qualifying spot so he had the whole shot between him and his teammate. Vettel seemed slightly faster. I even wrote in my notes that Vettel did seem faster. So clearly he did seem faster. But do you think he passes Leclerc?
I don't know. See, that's the thing. Because if you take a look at how team orders have played out over the last 10 years in Formula One, I'll take it even further back. I'll go back to the 90s. You had guys who absolutely really hated each other, like Ayrton Senna, right? If you go back, and Alain Prost. And these dudes, they would go wheel to wheel when they were teammates. And it was difficult because as a team owner, you want to see both your cars finish. You want to get maximum points. You want to win. They have the Constructors' Championship and they have the Drivers' Championship. And famously, there's been drivers who don't get along. Prost used to get in the head of Nigel Mansell. Everybody got in the head of Nigel Mansell. But, it's funny how guys handle that kind of stuff. When you have two drivers that are clearly 1A and 1B, different story. In Ferrari, Vettel is a four-time champion. Charles Leclerc is in his second year of Formula One. At Mercedes-Benz, Lewis is a five-time champion, and Bottas is a guy that, has won races in better equipment now with Mercedes, but he's clearly the number two. So, what do you do if you're Mercedes? And they've used team orders in the past. So it's kind of funny to see Toto Wolff, when he was asked about the Ferrari situation, go, yeah, it's a can of worms with those team orders.
Yeah, well, he would know. But it's funny.
He's done it. He's told Bottas to get out of the way. And then, again, Toto Wolff could tell you because Nico Rosberg, the year he won his one championship, him and Lewis, for two seasons, went wheel to wheel, hated each other, said all the right things. Everyone knew what was going on, but they took each other out on numerous occasions.
Yeah, we saw it, and I think you mentioned we saw it play out with Williams back in the day. When Williams was not finishing dead last every week, they saw it play out, and that's when it got tricky. Well, I was promised this, and Frank was his name, was in the hospital, laid up, and they were arguing about it.
Yeah, Frank Williams, yeah.
Yeah, but I don't think Vettel passes him, and that's what made it tough for me. I don't think Vettel passes him. And
well, then when, Leclerc is really good. He makes that car wide. It's gonna have to work to get the pass.
And what's Vettel do when he gets they say okay, go by, and Leclerc follows orders? What's he do? He locks up the tires three out of the next, I think, five laps. At some point, he locks up his tires. He loses pace a little bit. Now he did pull away from Leclerc eventually, but it just looks sloppy. And I know Vettel is what he is, and he's a champion, but he's also a champion of the past, and he's not a champion right now.
Right.
He's not going to be a champion this year. Leclerc is the future, and it just sets a bad precedent. Now, it happens everywhere. I just don't like it. I want to see the best car win. That's actually why I think you see Verstappen doing so well right now at Red Bull, because he is the man. There's no, is it him? Is it Daniel Ricciardo? There's none of that. He just is driving, and he's the guy right now. Look at Lewis Hamilton knows he's the guy.
Right.
And it works for him.
I do think there's just – I hate playing devil's advocate. I always want to see the best racing. But if you let Leclerc and Vettel go after each other, and Vettel's trying to pass Leclerc, what's going to happen is Verstappen's going to be on your gearbox, and now he's going to pass Vettel, and now you're going to help Verstappen get a podium. So the problem with Ferrari is Leclerc then backs off. They screw up the pit strategy. Red Bull basically does the switch. And if for those who are not familiar, Red Bull has fantastic strategy. They've got a great aerodynamicist. They might not have the horsepower, although they will have a new engine package for the Azerbaijan Grand Prix. Yeah. So Honda's really dial it in. I feel bad for Alonso, man. He leaves McLaren, and they go to Renault Power, and they actually do pretty well. And then when he was there, the Honda was a hot mess. Now Honda's really dialed in, supposedly, for Red Bull. But getting back to the strategy, as an owner, you don't want to see your cars wreck. Last year in the race in Azerbaijan, you got this was shown in the Netflix documentary Drive to Survive. You had Verstappen and Daniel Ricciardo just slam into each other on the front stretch. I mean, it was embarrassing. Christian Horner's like, "Oh, bloody hell!" And other F words and other things were thrown about in the Red Bull pits. But that's why you see what you see in NASCAR. What would be an example of team orders? Do we ever see it in NASCAR where somebody helps out another teammate?
Well, we saw it once. Remember the Clint Bowyer incident where he wrecked, I think, himself or someone else to get another teammate in. And that's when Bowyer, he wasn't at Stuart Haas then. I think he was at, was he at Petty then, or was it Richard Childress? But NASCAR finds him, and it turns out to be a whole deal. It was back in 2013 season,
right?
Because I remember we actually talked to him about it at the Super Bowl in 2014, year time wise, but that was something where they tried to cheat the system to get someone in. NASCAR everyone was onto it. I mean, anyone,
it was pretty obvious.
Yeah, and so it just becomes sticky. Formula One it's kind of something they completely allow, but now you don't have people wrecking people necessarily, but it's actually to keep them from wrecking themselves.
The most egregious example of a team order would come in the Grand Prix of Singapore. This is years ago. This is when Fernando Alonso was driving for Renault. And it was Flavio Briatore, who, again, the guy that helped get Benetton into F1 and guy's a power player in F1. But anyway, he was running the team. Basically told the second driver, "Wreck, we need to get a yellow out here." Hits the wall and helps Alonso get max points. And obviously, Formula One figured it out, and there was a huge fine, penalties and points, and Briatore was suspended, the team principal at the time. So, I mean, that's a really dark end of team orders. Yeah. All we're talking about is a guy saying, "Hey, he's faster than you, let him by." Anyway, Chinese Grand Prix, Lewis Hamilton gets the win. It's three in a row. Australia, Bahrain, and China, where Mercedes AMG Petronas goes 1-2. That's total dominance.
Yeah, and
Ferrari should have won Bahrain. Leclerc obviously had a spark plug or had something misfiring in the engine, but
yeah,
you could make the argument that Ferrari should have one win here.
And look, there was no denying that Valtteri was there really fast that week, and he had the pole. He just couldn't get off the start-finish line, and that was what he did in Australia, where he got off the start-finish line and dominated race. He might have done what Lewis did if he doesn't lose right off the bat. The race really was on the first lap, because not only do you have these two come out, but then McLaren loses both their drivers on the start. Mm-hmm. It was Danny Kiat, I believe is his name. Mm-hmm. And he takes them out on the start. And then they made him do a drive-through penalty, so his day was pretty much,
Yeah, it was a tough day for Lando Norris, who's actually, you can see the talent there. And that's why I ordered some McLaren gear for the Spanish Grand Prix, man. Picked up some swag, so I'm going to change it up. I'm just, you know, I mean, I've got my, look, I got my Ferrari here. I got a choice. I got Red Bull swag in the closet. I got Ferrari. You don't like Verstappen. Ferrari, by the way, and we talked a lot about them the last few weeks, but just to wrap up the Chinese Grand Prix, Matteo Binotto, who's the team principal, you know, he's answering questions about it. The problem is they just don't have the power. The engine's not reliable. Mercedes, by the way, has tweaked their front wing. They're making, I mean, they've already got the package. They're improving on it. And Ferrari, unfortunately, is Ferrari. And I was talking about this on the text line, and one of our listeners hit us up. This is after our last podcast. And he's like, what's up with Ferrari? He goes, I'm just getting into Formula One. He watched the Netflix documentary. And he goes, I thought Ferrari was like a championship team. I go, they were. The best way I could describe them, do you remember when the Yankees won their last World Series? I think it was, what was it?
I think it was 2010.
I'll take it all the way back to the 70s. They had back-to-back. And then they played the World Series. The Dodgers beat them in 81. And from 81 to 96, to the Joe Torre, Derek Jeter team, they didn't win anything because they just had bad management, made bad decisions. And that's Ferrari. Ferrari lost. All the guys that made Ferrari great now run Formula One. Ross Brawn and Jean Todt. And they just don't. So they've got, yes, they're going to be competitive. They're going to win the odd race, but they don't have the strategy. Ferrari shoots themselves in the foot with strategy nearly every race.
And could you say that some of it is Mercedes' fault as well?
Well, Mercedes, remember, this thing started from scratch. When Lewis left McLaren to go to Mercedes as the factory startup, people were like, what are you doing? It'll be years before they get it right. Well, no. They dialed it in pretty quickly, and they're off and running. You know, and now they've had five championships, you know, four for Lewis and one for Nico Rosberg.
Yeah, and I think, you know, when you have such dominance like Mercedes is, everybody's running for second place. It's really hard to compare it to anything else in sports. Maybe, you know,
the Patriots.
The Patriots, yeah, that's a good one. But how many was Hamilton got two championships in a row now?
Yeah, but I mean the thing with Ham is he's a tremendously talented driver in Formula One. That's the great argument. What if I put this guy in that car? If I put Nico Hulkenberg in the Mercedes, what does he do? If I put Daniel Ricciardo, who's best at outbreaking everybody, in that car, what can he do? Well, Hamilton's a little bit of everything. He can do what Nico does. He can do what Ricciardo does. He's a total package.
Yeah.
I mean, so look, it's always a combination of man and machine. Schumacher was the right guy at the right time with Ferrari, but he's also a ruthless driver. You know, and he was also technically, he was the best qualifying driver in the history of F1. You know, so there's all those, you put it all together, and Lewis has all the elements of all the great drivers. But getting back to Ferrari, I mean, we're hoping they're going to win a race here and there. Our next one comes down to Baku. Huge straightaways. And we'll talk more and we'll preview the race. Just to wrap up the Chinese Grand Prix, you and I love the bonus point for fastest lap. And if you've got a window where at the end of the race, if you can get in the pits, if you've got a long enough margin before the car behind you, you can come out with fresh tires and go for the lap record. That's exactly what Red Bull did.
I love it. I do love it because, you know what, when Lewis Hamilton and Valtteri Bottas is dominating a race and Vettel's doing whatever he's done and Leclerc's been hurt, you have a guy that just goes in and says, you know what, I'm gonna get the fastest lap.
That was Pierre Gasly, by the way.
It adds an element to the race that we don't see. Like, that's my point. When you know, we talked about it, it wasn't the best race we've seen this year, right? So what do we got to do? We get action that way. It brought action to the race. And, by the way, I thought most of the action was in the first 10 laps. You have the wreck with McLaren and Kvyat. You have the whole shot by Hamilton. And then you have the drama of Leclerc and Vettel. And then other than that, the one they talk about was a bad pit strategy.
Red Bull does the undercut with Verstappen, Ferrari. You know, again, Ferrari, either they go too soon, or they let the other team dictate the tempo, and then they hit the chicken switch. And that's what happened with Leclerc. And then, you know, the good pit stop's not great. You know, today's best pit stops, you're getting four tires on the car in 2.3 seconds. You know, I mean, and remember, for guys that are new to F1, there's no refueling. They start with a full fuel load, and then by the end of the race, obviously, the lap times go down because there's less weight in the car as the fuel burns off.
Yeah, and that's why you can go in and you can make these fast laps when you change tires.
So seventh place with Ricciardo back on. We're all a lap down. Gasly's able to come in, maintain his advantage over the Renault. He puts on fresh tires. Whoosh, he gets fastest lap. And he needed that, too. You know, he needed a good fit. He had a sluggish start for the first two races.
And he stole it from Vettel, who had the fastest lap, which would have been interesting because now Vettel is, you know, where the points, and this is something we got to look at because it's really Vettel, Verstappen, and Leclerc. in the, that 3 through 5 range because these guys are all just taking their own turns on the podium, although none of them are breaking the cracking the top two.
Ricardo, Sergio Perez, Kimi, another top 10 in the Sauber. Kimi's just doing what's expected of him. And I'll give a hats off to Alexander Albon and, more importantly, the Toro Rosso team. He hits the wall hard coming off of the final turn. He hits the wall right before the pit entrance. The car basically disintegrates, and they get the car back together, not able to do a great job of qualifying, and he finishes in the top 10 with points.
Yeah, and look, I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves, but Williams is sneaking up the board at 16 and 17. We can just keep building on this. I'll have lunch by the end of the season.
Yeah, man, for those that are wondering, we were talking about the historical team, Williams, which gets Sir Patrick Head back in, the guy that really took them and made them a championship team working with Frank Williams back in the day. But they've just been dreadful. They've been clearly the back of the pack. And as long as cars continue to blow up and do stupid stuff, yes, there's always a chance for Williams not to be dead last. It is our Formula 101 podcast brought to you by our buddies at Hey Man Ale. Go get your Hey Man, guys. It's go get the tall boys. It's Mother's Day. Just set the – and by the way, set your TV because it'll be early in the morning or early Sunday morning, the Grand Prix of Azerbaijan. This is a race. We were just talking about this with Carl out in our break room. I love to try to get there. I just don't trust taking a flight on Aeroflot. You know what I mean? Because you'd have to – I already looked it up. I'd have to fly to London, and then, you know, there's one British Airways flight. You got to take Airways you never heard of to get to Azerbaijan. But anyway, Baku, that was one of the Pierce Brosnan James Bond movies with the oil rigs and all that, because it's an oil-rich nation. That's where the money comes from. But anyway, It's a really cool city course. It's the fastest street course in the world. They're going 220 on a straightaway. It's unbelievable. And they've also got a turn which goes by a centuries-old fortress, and they're just clearing it by inches. I think it's one of the most dramatic races, and it's a real grind for the drivers. Take a combination of like Monaco and the Nürburgring and put it together, and that's Baku.
You got great scenery. There's nothing like that's what's cool is watching, especially when these guys are at night and it's a night race, and you got the great scenery. That's one of the reasons why Monaco is so cool, is at the end of it, it's at night. Man, that's just a really cool scene, and that's a thing that you get in Formula One that you don't get in the NHRA. You don't get it. Some of the, you know, NASCAR's not going to give you that.
IndyCar was in Long Beach, which is, other than the Indy 500, is probably their most prestigious race. Unfortunately, that was a processional 2 weeks ago, too. Alexander Rossi got the lead and just drove away. And other than a couple of guys tangling, there was just really not much happening there. But that's a street course which has a really cool vibe because you're going through downtown Long Beach and you're going by the Pacific Ocean. But this thing, watch this race, guys. DVR, it is on ESPN2. And just check it out. I said Nürburgring. It's more like Monaco meets Hockenheim because of these straightaways. But you see this town, which is a combination of, like, you know, old, and again, it's sort of Southern Asia, Middle Eastern, with these high rises and stuff. It really looks dramatic on TV.
It's like new meets old.
Right.
It's like where that's the cool thing about a lot of these. And you have some cities in America you go through, they've got the old buildings, old churches. I mean, in Philadelphia, you'll see a cemetery right there, and you're just walking down the street, boom, there's a cemetery. And then you got, you know, brand new high rises like Midtown.
Where do you see this one? Check it out. I think you'll dig it. Qualifying, obviously, very important in this race. We've seen Lewis Hamilton do well here. Like, it's hard not to bet when we do our picks, hard not to bet against Mercedes right now, because I just don't trust Ferrari. I'm really excited to see if Red Bull can get on the podium with the new Honda engine, if they got the power. See, Red Bull's always had the aerodynamics for the turns, you know, when you need more downforce, where sometimes they struggle against Mercedes on the straightaway.
Yeah.
Now they're maybe going to have that power with the Honda engine. So this should be pretty exciting on Sunday.
Well, I personally think Verstappen's going to get in the top three. And I, you know, I'm not a fan of Verstappen. This is a problem with what Daniel Ricciardo has done to me.
Well, again, this goes back to the Netflix documentary Drive to Survive. They make Verstappen look like a little weenie.
Well, you know, I know that's your boy, but he might be.
The kid's getting on my nerves. What do you think? I bought McLaren gear. I got three teams. I'm going to pack three sets of gear for the Spanish Grand Prix. I'll have, you know, depends on who's qualified, what I'm going to wear. Well, but I can't bring myself to bring, I can't bring the Mercedes gear out. To me, that's like rooting for the Patriots.
Yeah.
I don't own a Mercedes. I own a Corvette. So
yeah,
I don't really have anything I can equate it to.
You might as well say Roll Tide while you're doing it. I mean,
That's a better example. We said Patriots. And Mercedes is Alabama. You know, Mercedes is Alabama. Red Bull is Clemson, but they got to win now. Clemson's already won a couple of championships with Dabo. And Ferrari is Georgia right now. Can't beat Alabama.
Boy, that makes it tough for me to pull for Leclerc now. I tease.
We're just trying to give you an analogy. But obviously Mercedes has won a bunch of championships. Red Bull won 4 championships with Vettel. They're trying to get back to the top of the mountain.
The last time we saw Leclerc get team orders to back down, you can't do this, he went out there and really won the race.
Right. He was leading the race by 9 seconds when his engine went kaput.
Yeah, which wasn't on him. So what if we see one of these Mercedes guys not finish in the top three? What if you know, Bottas doesn't
hits the wall?
Yeah, or what if Lewis doesn't get off to a great start and it's just tough to go against Lewis because he recovers well. He's so consistent. You said it earlier. He's pound for pound the best at everything that he does in a race car in Formula One. So I don't know. This is gonna be a tough prediction that we have to make.
I'm gonna go. You know what? I'll do a Ferrari sandwich. I'll be optimistic for Vettel, and I'll go Lewis, Vettel, and Bottas. Although to be quite honest, I think we could very easily see the fourth race. This could be now the perfect season. You know, you got to go back to the '70s when there was less races on the docket. But you could see Mercedes. I mean, hypothetically, you know, lock it out for the rest of the year.
Yeah.
I mean, because, you know, there's a few tracks where you would say Red Bull's got a chance, like Hungary, which is a very twisty, you know, a lot of turns and a lot of lower speed corners. Montreal is high speed. You know, Texas has got a little bit of everything. But, I mean, just everywhere you look, Mercedes has the package. That's the problem.
And they,
it's kind of like Jimmy Johnson with those 10 races, you know, in the playoffs all those years.
Yeah, and well, look at the consistency. I mean, they've been so good. They've been so consistently good. And, I mean, you know, there's – I know that Bottas was he kind of lucked into second, but it would have been, you know, Leclerc was up there, but those guys were right behind each other. So I'm going to go Lewis. I'm going to go Leclerc with a rebound.
All right.
And I have to do this because I think it's we're seeing it. The guy was recently ranked the number one driver in power rankings because of how consistent he's been. I think Verstappen cracks it. Okay. I think he gets that at least in the top, you know, on the podium. And I think you're going to have Bottas and Vettel just fighting for 4 and 5 this week. And
By the way, you want a wild card? I know it sounds crazy. If you're looking for a wild card, go with Lance Stroll. Lance Stroll was on the podium here last year. Now, again, you had the Red Bulls, partly because the Red Bulls took each other out. But Lance Stroll was in a position, he had second place, and he lost concentration for a split second, and Bottas gets him literally by a tenth of a second at the line at Baku last year. But
That's a good call.
But if you look at the Racing Point cars, which are the old Force India cars, that's Mercedes power. So they should have the straight line speed. So I'm not saying he's going to be podium, but I'm saying if you're looking for a wild card for guys who do fantasy racing, take a look at Stroll.
Now, I know that Renault has had their issues, but Ricciardo did get in the top 10. He got 7. Do you think he can build on this?
Reliability, though. That's the rub, man. I mean, can you get – you know, the last week – I mean, 2 weeks ago in China, Hülkenberg, obviously, the wreck, this and that, but – Do you trust the reliability with Renault right now? And I think Ricciardo really is realizing I made a big mistake here.
Well, his bank account says otherwise, but yes, his competitive side, I think he made a huge mistake, and I think his competitive side is telling him that, and now he's going to be stuck in purgatory for years.
Well, that's just it. You know, and by the way, there's rumors already they're going to fire Cyril, your favorite, the French team principal, who was going round and round with Christian Horner.
Yeah.
If you watch the documentary, which it's on Netflix right now, guys, you can check it out. Drive to Survive.
Yeah, Christian Horner got the better of him, especially when Horner popped the line on him, and you'll watch this. He goes, "Oh, so now you're spending your money on drivers instead of engines? And we've got plenty of money. Yeah, I'm sure you do."
Yeah, because Renault is one of the biggest, you know, manufacturers in the world, but they're struggling with the reliability. Also, speaking of reliability, I don't know what's up with Haas. Remember, they got a Ferrari engine. They get a lot of their setup, their components from Ferrari. The chassis is a Dallara chassis made in England, but I just not sure. Gunther Steiner doesn't know either. Basically talking about the problems they had in China, said we tried, we didn't fix it, we wanted new tires, had heat in them, and just could not get the feel for these drivers in qualifying. You know, again, still had a decent day qualifying. They got to the final sequence into Q3, but Haas not as competitive as we expected in China.
Yeah, and they keep saying we can't get energy into the tire, which is, like you said, the heat. For some reason, when they're on the track, they are not getting heat in the tire. And it's hurting our boy Kevin Magnussen, who was in 6th in Australia.
That's the only top 10 finish. That's the best finish, by the way, for Haas all season.
Well, because you got Headcase, Roman, Grosjean, You know, he has his moments, but I hate it because I really like Magnussen. I want to see Magnussen do well. I like to see Haas do well. I like to see Americans win.
Right. I'd love to see somebody emerge as, you know, an American team, and that's what Haas is. That's Gene Haas, who also is partners in Stewart Haas Racing. You just love to see them get a young American driver, but unfortunately, there's just nobody in the pipeline just yet.
Now, real quick, before we go, do you think it's bad for Formula One? If Mercedes locks it out, does it 1-2 all year?
It's the same thing that Gunther Steiner from Haas said last year. Goes, nobody wants to see, you know, the Mercedes fire if it gets Boeing, which it does. You know, so, I mean, unfortunately, just like in the Super Bowl, the ratings are pretty good. Every time the Patriots are there, the ratings are up for Formula One right now. I know Netflix picked up some new subscribers, by the way, and people are watching. So the ratings are up. They attribute that to what we've been talking about, documentary, at least in North America. But, yeah, I'm with you, though. I mean, you want to see Ferrari win when Mercedes win when Red Bull. You want to see more than just one team dominate. But unfortunately, they've built a bitter mousetrap. They've got all the power of Mercedes AMG behind it. You know, they've got a lot of brain power, and they're making good decisions. I know. I think Ferrari, they suffer from, unfortunately, even though they fired their last team principal, Maurizio Rivabene, they got dysfunction at Ferrari, man. Everybody looking over their shoulder. This is going to be the warm and touchy-feely guy coming over to run the show. And he looks like a lost puppy.
Yeah, they're their own worst enemy right now. They really are. I agree.
Watch Ferrari. They always get the strategy wrong. They always dictate when they let other teams dictate the tempo or the strategy, and they have to react to it. Or when they try to do something, they do it too early.
And I think at times they're almost – and I do get why they've done what they've done, and there's no doubt of why they're doing what they've done. But sometimes I think they're so worried about managing their drivers that they don't manage the race, to your point, with the strategy. And now they're fighting internally between who's going to finish third and fourth or fourth and fifth instead of going after the prize, which is Mercedes.
I also watch for the relationship with Vettel and Hamilton. Right now it's okay, but last time we were at Baku, it was 2 years back. You guys might remember it was a safety car situation, and Lewis is kind of holding the field back, and Vettel bumps into him. And they had some words, and Vettel really did kind of look like a toolbox in that one. So see if Vettel keeps his composure, if Lewis keeps the heat on him in Baku. We'll be back, guys, next week to talk about what happens this week. And again, set your DVR. And again, you got some downtime. I think you'll get a kick out of the race, even if you fast forward through it. But it's a really cool venue, and it's high speeds in a country you never heard of. What more do you need, right?
Yes, all we need. High speeds, a country never heard of.
You know, I mean, it'll look cool. It'll look dramatic.
And give me some drama.
Right on. All right, brother. We'll see you next week on our podcast. And by the way, I always appreciate your feedback, guys. You can hit us on Twitter. I'm Mike Bell, ATL.
At SquidBilly929.
Right on.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile. Get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.